What happens when the bank walks away from the house?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The number of homes seized by banks topped 1 million last year. It's the first time that's ever happened, according to real estate data firm RealtyTrack. And while the number of foreclosures keeps rising, a new report out today from a housing advocacy group, Woodstock, says we're also seeing an increasing number of lenders walking away from foreclosures. That's affecting mostly poor inner-city neighborhoods where foreclosure rates are among the nation's highest. Nick Ritsinas is director of Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing Studies. He's with us live this morning from Providence. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
So we saw this report out of Chicago today. What about the rest of the country? How widespread is this?
Well, it is a problem that is increasing. I wouldn't say it's widespread yet, but I think it reflects both the falling home values and banks coming to the judgment that it's just not worth it, as well as a very dysfunctional foreclosure process. So it's a problem that's likely to get worse before it gets better.
This is the clunky foreclosure process, the paperwork and all of that stuff that goes along with it. When a bank, Nick, walks away from a foreclosure, what happens to the property? Where does that leave the property?
Well, in the near term, it leaves it abandoned. And abandoned means it's not cared for. So it has a negative contagion effect on the surrounding properties in terms of the overall valuation of the neighborhood. Eventually, cities can come in and take over the property. But as we all know, cities themselves are often challenged in terms of their budgets to take that on. So it leads some real scars in the neighborhood.
Scars in a lot of these neighborhoods, as I mentioned, you know, and you too, poorer neighborhoods, ones hardest hit by the foreclosure crisis. Do banks owe anything to these neighborhoods where they're abandoning these houses?
Well, I think they do. When the banks made the loan, they also took on a servicing responsibility and collected a fee for that responsibility. Part of that involved doing this when these kinds of problems arose. The fact that they're walking away, I think, is an abandonment of that contractual obligation. And you couple that with the enormous sort of subsidy that banks get through insured deposits, it doesn't seem that that's a fair trade and that the banks are doing their part.
And they're still on the hook, right, for keeping the house up. Who would be on the hook for that? Is it still the owner or the foreclosee?
Well, at that point, the owner has the borrower has an additional problem because the borrower now has this lien that could come up at any point in time because the banks could say tomorrow, well, let me restart the foreclosure process. So, again, it leaves a scar. It leaves sort of a gaping hole in the neighborhood. Both in terms of the property, the borrower, and the city.
Harvard University's Nick Ritsinas. Nick, thanks.
Thank you.
The congressional panel that oversees the $700 billion bank and auto industry bailout is out with its monthly report today. That panel says the Treasury Department could have gotten better deals from selling government stakes in General Motors and Chrysler. In GM's case, the report says Treasury could have made more money had it waited for GM's stock to climb a little higher. And the report also says taxpayers didn't get a strong enough return on its stake in Chrysler's consumer financing arm. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Taxpayers took over 40% of Chrysler Financial as part of a $3.5 billion bailout of the parent company Chrysler. Last May, the government sold its stake at a $1.5 billion loss. The Congressional Oversight Panel says Treasury should have held out for a better deal. The panel's Ted Kaufman, a former senator from Delaware, says Treasury officials had a tough time meeting all their obligations.
They have three different goals, which are save American jobs, keep their hands off of the companies that we own, but at the same time return taxpayers' money as soon as possible. And at times there have been conflicts between those three, and we just thought it'd be better if they stated what their priorities were.
Treasury denies it failed to fully appreciate Chrysler Financial's value. The Obama administration's point man on auto bailout says Treasury was trying to exit the car business as quickly as possible, and Chrysler's recent resurgence has surprised everyone. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The S&P pretty much flat, off just a fraction of a percent, but the NASDAQ rebounding a bit. The Dow down 18 points at 11,736. The Labor Department today said the number of people filing for first-time jobless benefits rose by 35,000 last week. Blame a lot of those on holiday temp workers let go. Also, wholesale prices were up in December, helped along by rising energy costs.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com.
The world's largest toy maker will be back in court today. Mattel, the maker of the Barbie doll, is in a battle with MGA Entertainment over the origin of that company's Bratz dolls. Mattel claims it is the rightful owner of those sassy little dolls with big eyes. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has more from L.A.
Back in 2008, a judge ruled Bratz dolls should belong to Mattel. But last year, an appeals court reversed the ruling. And in a flash, the Bratz were back on the shelves. Toy analyst Sean McGowan says the thing is, the dolls don't spark that much passion among their young consumers anymore.
Well, that's the irony, I think, is whoever winds up winning may wind up winning something that isn't really worth fighting over anymore.
McGowan says Bratz aren't earning even half of what they once made in the face of competition from other dolls, including Barbie. In the latest court battle, Mattel says MGA stole its trade secrets. MGA says Mattel employees disguise themselves to sneak into its showrooms. Ira Winkler is a corporate espionage expert.
It's really hard to say what's going to happen in this case. The only certainty you have is that the lawyers are making a lot of money in this case.
MGA says its legal fees alone are more than $150 million. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, ad data firm Ace Metrix says TV commercials with celebrity endorsements are the least effective. The worst celebrity endorsement, it says, Tiger Woods commercial for Nike. No one saw that coming. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It used to be easy to buy a house in this country. Way too easy. No money down, no income verification.
Nobody forces me to buy a Ferrari. I can't afford it. If you lower the bar at the Ferrari dealership to the point where I qualify, look out.
I'm Kai Rizdal, a look back and a look forward at the American housing market, a co-production with Los Angeles public television station KCET. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.